Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. So when, don't give up the secrets, Joy. You've got a great piece of juicy video at the bottom of the hour.
I'm hoping to have it in the second hour. If not, it will definitely be in the third hour. But
it's very interesting.
It is delicious.
It's delicious. I tell you, When I say Kevin Durant, what is your opinion on do you think I like Durant?
Yes. I think you respect Durant.
Yes, totally. I did not like him leaving Steph for Kyrie. I thought that
Correct.
Was crazy talk.
I don't think you agree with all of his
business.
His business decisions you do. His career on the court decisions as far as him leaving Golden State and maybe how those things fell apart.
And I think he's a little sensitive, but so is Aaron Rodgers, and it's not fair for me to criticize sensitive because that's a real quality. I got to tell you something. No more bad stuff on Kevin Durant. I really like him. I really do. I'm watching some stuff, and I'm like, I really like Kevin Durant. I've said before, I think he's the greatest scorer the last decade in the league.
I'm a huge KD fan, now, and I enjoy his clapbacks
right,
and all of it.
But leaving Steph for Kyrie,
it's a questionable decision if you believe in what the future of the Warriors could project to, and if your evaluation of what Kyrie is.
If Kevin Durant sat right there, I would say I don't get it. I wouldn't hide from him. Like I don't. If I was a left tackle and I could have Russell as my quarterback or Andy Dalton. And I say, I got to go to Andy Dalton. I'd be like, that's not a good decision.
I also think that KD is someone who enjoys new challenges. He seems to be
that
type of personality where it's like, okay, I've accomplished this. Let me see if I can accomplish this.
Okay.
And it doesn't necessarily follow the normal, legacy build
that
we have in our minds. But I think that that's kind of, how his career has played out.
New rule on the show. This is rule 7.
Okay.
Moratorium on any negativity with Durant.
Okay.
Because I really like him lately. And I just, he was so funny yesterday. He's talking about 2K or something, that basketball game. And he was really pushing to be rated 99. He was very tongue in cheek. And I'm like, he had great self-awareness. He knew he was just saying, oh, how am I not a 99? I'm a very nice person. I do this. And I was like, that's funny. Like, he's incredibly likable. So I got another thing before. I got Brock Huard's coming up, college football NFL analyst. So I get a lot of heat when I'm critical of, like, Baker Mayfield or Jameis Winston or Cam Newton in college for their lack of maturity. I get a ton of hate mail. And Jameis Winston, I'm like, I'm not into it. You can't jump up on tables and yell things like that if you're a quarterback. If a receiver does it, if a middle linebacker does it, I don't like it. Can't do it as a quarterback. Too immature. Baker Mayfield, don't like it. Police video, hate it. Cam Newton, I don't like it. Big Ben early in his career, did some stuff. Can't do it, you're a quarterback. So here's a prime example. We have four quarterback battles. I'm not going to count San Francisco. It's Garoppolo's job. He's 24-8 as a starter. Trey Lance isn't ready. Garoppolo's going to start the season. They're going to have packages for Trey Lance. That currently is not a quarterback battle. That's Garoppolo's job. There's four. Really four. Saints, Denver, New England, and Chicago. And I want you to notice they're all the exact same battle. So the Saints, clearly Jameis Winston is the more talented thrower of the football. He's got the better arm talent. He's a better college player than Taysom Hill. He throws a better ball. He's more productive. But it's a battle. Denver, Drew Lock is Jay Cutler. Huge arm. Really talented, great basketball player. We know arm talent, far superior to Teddy Bridgewater, but it's a battle. New England, Cam and Mac Jones. One guy's a former MVP, 6'6", playmaker, run you over. One guy has a low ceiling, efficient. Chicago, Justin Fields, 6'3", 228, and was the third fastest human that ran with the ball this weekend. Yet, he may not start with Andy Dalton. What are the words being used? Fear, concern, worry that the more talented player will make more mistakes. Mistakes being bad judgment. Now, in Justin Fields' case, it's just youth. So it's really three of the four. But in his case, it's like, well, he's young. He's never been in these games. He could turn the ball over. Having to, you know, I was talking to Dave Wannstedt yesterday about this. Like, all these defenses in the preseason, what you see at the line of scrimmage is what you see. Everybody's hiding all their stuff. And what does this point to? That talent has limitations. That Andy Dalton, Teddy Bridgewater, Taysom Hill, Mac Jones, significantly less talented, may start because the coaches think won't turn the ball. Turnovers equal loss in the NFL. I mean, it's almost every weekend. Who's got the fewer turnovers? So when I talk about judgment and decision making, this is why. The four quarterback battles we have, the more talented guy is in a battle with a far less talented guy. And in all four cases, you're worried about mistakes and judgment from the more talented player. So that's why when I create, by the way, I was right on Manziel. I've been right on Winston. I was certainly right until the last seven games on Baker. It was his judgment. Baker had bad judgment until at the end of last year. Jameis, you know, Johnny Manziel. Cam, by the way, what's always been the knock on him? From mechanics to efficiency. I always feel like there's more there and I don't see it. So that's why I'm critical of the one position in football. It's not a talent position. I mean, talent matters. It's a judgment. It's a judgment position. And all four more talented guys, their coaches, have them in a quarterback battle as significantly better talents because they're worried about decisions and mistakes. Okay? Myself. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Brock Huard played in the NFL for a long time, 6 years in the NFL, and he is now joining us, Fox Sports NFL analyst, back up to Peyton Manning with the Colts. So, you know, it's funny about you live in Colorado now. We were talking about decision making, and Peyton Manning is a great example. When you came into the league, I mean, you'd been a great college and high school quarterback, but what struck you about Peyton Manning? I imagine some of it was just like he was a CEO as much as he was a quarterback.
Yeah, I think the same thing struck me, Colin, then as it did at his Hall of Fame party and ceremony a couple weeks ago in Canton that I got a chance to be at. And I listened to you talk about judgment, and it's a little bit of semantics, but I would say so many of the elites and seeing Tom Brady there with Peyton Manning at his party, the attention to detail. You went through all those guys and all those quarterback battles and got my mind racing, as I'm sure all the listeners who were taking that in as well. And it just got my mind racing to what made Peyton truly unique. And it was his attention to every last detail, just like his speech that he probably did 118 times, Colin. Okay, true story. One time I bothered him, and I try not to ask him for anything. And now we do live in the same town. I see him a little bit. And I don't want to be that guy that says, hey, Peyton, can I have you do this? Or would you mind doing this? I don't ever want to be that and don't ever want to ask him for anything. But I was doing a talk and I was using him as one part of that conversation with the business. And I said, do you have any little notes or any little thoughts on this? And he sent me, Colin, a screen grab of one of his speeches he does. And in that speech that he does, it's comma, pause 2 seconds, look to the crowd. I mean, the attention to detail is off the charts. And that's what the elites have. That's what Tom has. That's what Drew has. That's what Aaron Rodgers has. That's what Russell Wilson has. That's what Patrick Mahomes has, even though he's got tremendous talent and flair and charisma. But that attention to detail, I think a key component of that judgment you're speaking to.
So we saw, I said, I count Jordan Love. I'll count him as a rookie for this exercise of six quarterbacks because he didn't dress last year. So, and we, you know, we joke on this show, it's like a Bigfoot sighting. I get about one a year. I had Jordan Love. I don't even get tape at practice. I have no idea. So I count him as one of the six rookie quarterbacks I saw. All of them, I thought, had moments where I was like, ooh. All right, that's why he's a first-round quarterback. Zach Wilson, nice little release. Trey Lance, big athlete. Justin Herbert, obvious stuff. Okay, so even Mac Jones, he was accurate. That's what we were told. He'll get rid of the ball. He's accurate. Okay, so if I said to you, which rookie quarterback, for you, either surprised or a little pop there, and is there anything you were concerned about with any of the six?
Well, I think there's a lot of concern with all of them, and I'd be very careful to rush to judgment in preseason game number one, where seemingly the league decided we're going to sit every major star and starter and play a lot of backups. So the pictures these guys saw was so much simpler than what they're going to see. The speed in that pocket. You know, you mentioned Justin Herbert last year, and in talking to him, doing a couple of the Chargers games, he said, man, it was so different in that pocket, that speed off the edge, the air that just gets sucked out of that space so quickly. None of those guys felt that in preseason game number one, nor will they really feel it, I think, in two or three. It won't be until the regular season that that's going to hit them and they're going to feel some of that. Having said all of that, Colin, I was a huge Justin Fields fan going into the last draft in April. I couldn't believe that he was still sitting where he was sitting. Chicago made maybe the best move they've made in a long time as an organization. And he started a little bit slow, so you want to see him respond, okay? A little bit of adversity early. How do you respond? How do you react? Just the same way he did for 2 years in Columbus, phenomenally. Rose to the occasion, physical. I liked him as much as any of those QBs in the draft in April. That opinion hasn't changed. And sooner, I think, rather than later, he's going to be the starter in the Windy City.
So, you know, it's interesting with Jordan Love. He's in a weird spot where he doesn't have to play. And that's really a benefit. I mean, it would be ideal if none of these guys did for a year or two. You watched them in college. You may have done a game or two. I know you studied a lot of tape. You saw him in Green Bay. It's the first time I'd ever really seen him. He made a couple of throws over the middle. Those are not easy throws over the backers in front of the safety. I thought he passed the eyeball test to me. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he's got to be the number two this year, Colin. I think that is the biggest key. As you mentioned, last year he didn't even dress. Had a couple Green Bay games. Didn't even dress for those games, and that's just checkout mode. Like, you show up to the stadium, you might as well be in the booth. You know you're not playing, and you could be engaged, but not like when you're the number two guy and you know, man, at any point, Aaron takes a hit, Aaron pulls his calf, Aaron, you know, takes a concussion or a broken clavicle or something. You got to be ready to go. So the first step for him is simply being the number two, being one snap away and just having that sense of urgency. He's got a nice arm. I mean, he's a physical guy. But we haven't seen him process. We haven't seen him handle adversity. As you said, man, he's Sasquatch. We've hardly seen him at all, but on grainy film until last weekend where, yeah, you know, he flashed kind of the first round tangibles of size, strength, arm, and all of that. But we know there is so much more. As you said, that judgment that lacked a little bit in his final year with a bunch of picks, that judgment going to be such a key to his growth and development.
You know, I want to talk a little Justin Fields, Trey Lance here, because we know Zach Wilson's going to start, Trevor Lawrence going to start, Jordan Love won't. Can you learn anything if you're Trey Lance sitting? Could you?
Yes. Yeah, I think you can learn something. And I think your mindset when you're in that moment. Listen, Damon sat behind Dan Marino and Tom Brady, my older brother Damon. I sat behind Peyton Manning. We sat behind some of the greatest to ever do it and have had a lot of conversations about that. I remember throwing with Damon the first offseason he came back from Miami, and he's carrying the ball a little bit like Marino. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, who are you mechanically? That's, you know, but you're just around it. There's almost a little bit of osmosis, the way that you carry yourself. You know, I've told this story before. Damon's watching tape with Dan first year. They're playing like Pittsburgh and, you know, all that zone blitz. And Damon's like, Dan, how did you know to throw the curl route? What were you reading there? Was it the safety? Was it the buzz linebacker? And Dan looked at him like, what? Will you look at that? What are you talking about? See it, throw it. See it, hit it. Like, you just let you really, all that stuff's going on in your minds while you're trying to play. You got to go play. So, yeah, I think there is osmosis. I watched Matt Hasselbeck, who sat behind who? Brett Favre. And Matt would tell you, like, man, just watching those guys play the game and just have fun and a flair to play. Chad Henne, how about that last year, Colin? Right? Was that the Chad Henne? I called the game, you know, and Andy Reid calls a fourth down pass for him. Like, that's Chad Henne? I don't recognize that Chad Henne, but watching Mahomes play, the flair, the charisma, the fun, the cut it loose, man. Don't think about all the downside of it. Yeah, I think you can gain a bunch by watching. I don't know if that's Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think Jimmy is Dan, nor is he Patrick Mahomes. But you can certainly, through time and watching them practice and through that, I think osmosis on and off the field, you can certainly learn.
So I said I watched Hard Knocks. It's boring, and that's the best thing I could say about the Cowboys is the more boring your team, generally the better your team. Kansas City's remarkably quiet considering all their stars and their success. Tampa Bay's offseason was mostly, hey, we re-signed another veteran. Go to your years of it. I watched Dallas and I thought, well, Amari's a grown up and Dak's a grown up and DeMarcus Lawrence. It's like a couple years ago when Dez was loud and Zeke was loud. It's like the team had talent. But it was like, oh, this is so much. And go back to your, I watched this Hard Knocks and I'm like, Jerry Jones is the loudest guy in the franchise. There's no noise. I kind of see it as a positive. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think so, too. If I know Colin and listen to you over the last 10 years, I'm glad you said that. We're noise. They're noisy. They're all noisy.
Yes. Yeah,
and I think you can be noisy, Colin. We watched it in Seattle. That defense was noisy. Was Russell new, right? And he was the leader, even with the Legion of Boom. So you can have noise defensively. But offensively, I think you're exactly right. And I know I'm about 5 years late to Angela Duckworth's book called Grit, but I'm reading it now leading into the season, and she talks an awful lot about that, doing the mundane. When she studied achievers and those that really accomplished a lot, you know what was resonated? Not just their talent. It was their ability to do the mundane over and over and over. And once again, what was Drew Brees? What is was Peyton Manning? What is Tom Brady? What is Aaron Rodgers? What are those guys? They do the mundane over and over and over for years and decades now in some cases. And I think you're right. It speaks a lot, especially offensively, when you got your leadership and your best players that can do that. I think that achievement scale goes up.
Brock Huard, Fox Sports. Hope you had a great summer with you and the fam, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds great, Colin. Thanks, Troy.
All right, good stuff. Joy's got, I don't know if she'll have it this herd line.
It'll be in the next herd line. So a lot of cutting, you know. We got to give our producers time to put it together.
Producers, go have some of that new free coffee. Speed up the caffeine.
I'm going to look for the ice cream myself.
Oh, my God.
How did you find the ice cream?
Well, because I was told there was coffee, and I was like, this is beautiful. They built it. The Fox executives, the owners, they built this neat little coffee space, this beautiful wood and coffee. And then somebody goes, hey, did you hear about the ice cream? And I'm like, no. And they open up the fridge, and there's just stuff pouring out of there. And I'm like, nobody's ever going to leave here. The whole company, nobody's going to leave here now.
Yeah, free ice cream is a great choice.
And coffee.
Yeah, you're bigger on the coffee than I am.
People don't understand.
I'm privileged enough to be bought coffee.
I don't care about parking spots. I'm not a parking spot. I've never had a parking spot in my life.
I love a parking spot.
I never had one.
I'm very Steve Jobs in that way, though. So you always make fun of me for wearing sweatpants every day, but I don't have to think about what I'm wearing. It's going to be sweatpants.
Yeah.
I like parking in the same spot.
So you like parking.
I eat the same thing for breakfast every day. So I can bring all my energy and talent for you, Colin.
Boom! Well, I'm kind of the same. I'm not a parking spot person, but if you can take care of my coffee.
Yeah.
I don't have to think about it. You know, and it's dark. I leave the house at like 5:50. Everybody's asleep. The dogs are asleep. I don't want to wake people up with my coffee machine. And I'm dropping stuff. You can't eat the lights off. It's just that whole drama just ended this morning. 50 years of that life. That life is over now.
It's like a seed in Curb Your Enthusiasm, you trying to make coffee in the morning.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday on FS1, it's a huge MLB doubleheader. First, it's a pivotal game for the Yankees as Aaron Judge powers the pinstripes against the Twins. Coverage begins at noon Eastern. Then at 4, Pete Alonso and the Mets fight for the NL East against Cody Bellinger and the Dodgers. Catch all the action Saturday on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Yankee fans now think, oh, please take us seriously. We swept the circling the drain Red Sox. First of all, nobody can take the Mets seriously, and get off my feed. There's more Mets talk on Twitter for a bad organization than you don't deserve 3 seconds on Twitter. My entire feed is Met nerds and Met media talking about them. Let's talk Dodgers. Let's talk Brewers. Let's talk Astros. Let's talk Braves, although they lost their best player 2 months ago. There's some really good baseball teams. Most, it feels like, in the National League. Tampa Bay is really good. But like the Mets, I've never seen a team get more publicity for fewer results in my lifetime. Mets Twitter is, it's relentless. And it's like, of course it's ending this way. It always ends this way.
I haven't wandered into Mets Twitter yet.
Oh, it's obnoxious. And they're just delusional, crazy people. Like, Red Sox, at least over the last 15 years, have won a lot. So when they circle the drain, you're like, whoa, that's kind of shocking because they were good early. The Mets, everybody, how do you get excited for like May and June baseball? Of course you're circling it. You're not, and the Yankees, by the way, are, they sweep a very brief series. They win a few games and now they're great. That team's got huge limitations with their pitching, base running, defense, their batting order's uneven, righties, lefties. Dodgers, Brewers, Rays, maybe the Astros. Pay attention to those teams. Atlanta's hot, but they lost their best player, what, 2 months ago? Well, they got amnesia? You can't lose your best player and end up in the World Series. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
There's so many different interesting corners of Twitter.
There are. Mets Twitter.
I have not encountered Mets Twitter yet.
I'm going to have to go through my Twitter, because I follow like 500 people. I'm just going to get rid of like 30 of them. It's just insane. Like, people like will tweet like every at bat, like it's 30 tweets a night on the Mets.
Listen, when you choose to be dedicated to something, Colin, you got to go all in. It's like you with the Carolina Panthers, you know?
12-5. I'm going to scale it back to 11-6. I'm having reservations after I saw that Jets defensive line. It mauled the Giants. Discombobulated the whole Giants team. Give me a week to bake. Let that bake.
Well, speaking of the Giants, they haven't had much success over the last few years, but co-owner John Mara is hoping that changes this season, and he knows fans are anxious to see the team turn things around.
I don't know. How do you define rebuild? I expect to win more games than we did last year. I'm hopeful that we're going to be a playoff team this year. So, I mean, you can call it anything you want. I just want to feel like after the last game that, all right, what we have here is a team that can win a Super Bowl. We're all in the hot seat. I mean, with our fans in particular, we've given them too many losing seasons. It's time for us to start winning.
Historically, they've been smart owners. They give everybody time. They gave Eli years to get it. They gave Tom Coughlin years. So you got to give them credit. They are really well run. I have this feeling. I like their roster. I do not like their offensive line. You cannot watch. Like, when they face Washington, look at what Washington's D-line does to the Giants' O-line. It's terrifying. It's like it literally eliminates
all
your hope.
Washington has one of the best defenses in the league, and their defensive line might be the best in the league, or arguably one or two.
Well, you got to play them twice.
Right. I mean,
I don't know.
I feel like the Giants are kind of in that space where the brand is bigger than the accomplishments as of recent.
Oh, yeah.
Because I really like the Giants. I think that the NFL is better when the Giants are really competitive. I mean, they were 6-10 last year. They haven't made the playoffs since 2016. Haven't won a Super Bowl since 2011.
By the way, there's 14 teams make the playoffs. No longer can you go 5 and 6 years without... You got
to
get in there.
Especially in that division where it seems to turn over who is the best team every single year. Like, you should be able to slide in there and pop every once in a while. I get it that that's how they are traditionally run, which is very patient, and they are one of those cornerstone franchises in the league. They're not extremely dysfunctional, but maybe they're not being as aggressive as they need to be. I think they'll be better than they were last year. I mean, they're getting Saquon back. I think they've made some good offseason moves. The offensive line is obviously a big question, which, you know, and especially later in the season, can become a huge problem, because if you're constantly getting hit and you have a young quarterback, that's not really a recipe for success. But, you know, it's just kind of one of those things with the Giants where maybe that approach is not the most successful anymore. Like, sometimes you got to change how you approach things, and maybe being more aggressive and being more impatient in a market that is already impatient. But with the Giants fans, they're traditionalists, and there's pressure, but not the kind of pressure that you have on teams that make drastic moves. They're not run like the Rams. They're not out here wheeling and dealing.
They're not
every second. So maybe it's time to just tweak it a little bit. So the Eagles and Patriots have held joint practices this week leading up to their preseason game. Thursday night. And as a rookie head coach, Nick Sirianni knows he has a lot to learn. And he tries to soak up everything he can from Bill Belichick while they shared the field.
Just being able to be around people that are high, that are really good at their job. I think just you learn just from being around. I just admire the way he prepares. I admire the way he gets his guys ready, how he motivates his guys. So, I mean, those are things that you just see, little things like that. So it's good to be around him. Most of my attention, obviously, it better be, right, is around our football team. But, again, you still get to learn from guys that you're around.
I like that. I think it's important to pick up things. I mean, we were just talking about, you know, picking up things from quarterbacks that you're sitting behind and watching how other people prepare, how other people approach things, especially when you're a young coach, is super important.
Totally agree.
I like this approach from him. We give him a hard time, but look, one job I would genuinely be terrified to have in sports is an NFL head coach.
I think, like, I'd be great.
Even you think you'd be a good NFL head coach?
Not a good coach. I'd be good at the podium.
Well, you talk for a living.
Yeah, I would be basically 80% Mike Tomlin, and then I would be 20% Belichick, where I'd be grumpy because the media is stupid. But 80% I would be Tomlin. I would talk in short bursts, get right to the point, and stop talking. He has mastered 8 seconds.
Yeah, less is more when you are an NFL head coach. When you're an NFL quarterback, you want to talk for the amount of time that makes the media feel satisfied, but you don't want to say anything. So just say a lot of nothing if you're the NFL quarterback. If you're the coach, less is more.
Don't give them anything.
Yes. And if you can master saying quick bites of nothing, but just enough that they can write a story,
in my life,
they'll love you.
Tomlin's the best coach at the podium, history of the league. Gruden talks too much, but he's funny because he was a TV star. And Belichick has a great skill, and more people in life should have it. Silence. If somebody asks me a question and I think it's stupid, it's okay to glare at him for a second and go, "We'll see." That's a fine answer. And Belichick, now a lot of people are uncomfortable with silence. Most people do not.
Most people are very uncomfortable with silence. They feel the need to just make noise to fill the space.
It's okay sometimes to go, "We'll see."
I think I would try and be likable but stern. And I would just probably kind of ride that out. Because you do want the local media, the beat writers, to like you. There is a great benefit to having the local people be on your side if you're a head coach.
You also want to be a good human. You don't want to embarrass people. I would never want to embarrass a writer. But they ask some bad questions.
We come from a different space, though. Like, we understand what those jobs are.
Yeah.
And, like, we give reporters a hard time for asking bad questions. But, like, they have to ask the same question every day. Because there might be a chance that someone else asks that same question and gets the answer.
The other thing is, everybody answers stuff immediately. Like, if you ask me a question, like, ask me, just do a reporter question. I just lost a game. It was a big game, and ask me a question.
Colin, what did you think about your quarterback's decision on that crucial third down at the end of the game?
I'm going to look at film. I paused. It's okay to not have an immediate answer and to just pause and reflect and just say, "I'm going to look at film." That's the idea that
but that doesn't help me as the writer.
You got a deadline. I don't. the idea that
then you leave me as the writer open to give, you know, I'm going to have to fill that space when it might, you know, stumble into opinion.
I got bigger issues than your opinion in the second paragraph.
So LaMelo Ball has established himself as one of the best young players in the NBA last season. He did an interview with GQ. And he talked about his path to the NBA. He said he has no regrets about leaving school to play professionally overseas, saying, "You want to go to the league, so school's not your priority. We're not tripping off school. We're not dumb. We know how to learn. We don't need school." He's also revealed he's working out all summer in Charlotte, even doing 2 a.m. gym sessions in the hopes of bringing a title to the city. And he said, "I want to be here a long time. I love the game. I love being around it."
Well, we don't have a problem with a music savant doing this. Why do we have a problem? I don't think. Listen, bottom line is, basketball, unlike any other sport, 18 years old, you're really close. If you're great, you're not that far off the plan. So, like, I never have a problem. Tennis kids at 13, literally leave school.
Well, like it's not like he didn't finish high school. He finished school.
That's right.
He just didn't go to college.
That's right. For everybody.
He didn't finish his high school in a traditional way. Look, people get crazy about anyone that goes off the beaten path.
I know, crazy.
Like, he's going to fail. And they kind of want them to fail because they're doing something that is not traditional, that's outside of the box, they're taking a chance. But when it comes to school, my pushback always with athletes is like, they're going to possibly make millions of dollars. They don't need your scholarship anymore. Like, they can go back to college if that's what they want to do. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
So what are you freaking out about? You don't think that they can pay for their own school after they go? Let's say they go to the league and they fail, right? They're there, what is failure? Like, they play out their rookie contract, right? So they make $5 million or whatever. Like, it's underachieved. They can't go back to school and finish, like, an education. The college will be there. Universities will be there. I don't understand the panic about it. And it's never going to be hundreds of kids doing it because there aren't that many kids that have that level of talent.
That's right.
So you know, what is it that you're saying?
I left college 14 credits shy because I got an offer to be a AAA baseball announcer. And there were two guys in the country that got a AAA job out of college, Joe Buck and me. And I was like, I asked my mom. I'm like, she's like, you're 21 years old. You can do AAA. Go for it. I had 13 credits shy. I'm like, I'm not going to get offered a AAA. That's one step from big league baseball.
Correct.
And I had pimples on my nose and forehead. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. It's like, go for it. I can go back and get it.
You can go back to school. And again, it's not going to wreck the college basketball system. It's not going to change sports forever because there's not that many kids that, A, have the ability. His father, for as much as pushback as LeVar gets, his father put him in a situation to be able to do that. Everybody's not going to be able to do that. It'll be one or two kids a year, if that. Some of them will succeed. Some of them will fail. But why not try? Just because you live your life in this little lane, which is totally fine, doesn't mean that everybody has to fall in line.
That's
it's
right.
Worked out for LaMelo, and he is dedicated to what it is he's doing. Now, if he does that and he's goofing off and not pouring himself into it, that's something different entirely.
I was talking to Andrew Luck about this one time, and he said Stanford's gotten to a point because of technology. They will tell kids, if your idea, if it's great, it's better than your degree. Leave Stanford. If you're at Stanford and you have a great idea, professors will tell you, get out of here. Idea beats resume and diploma in 2021.
I had a great experience in college. I fully believe that my education prepared me to sit where I am today. I am not anti-college at all or anti-education, but everything isn't for everybody, and it's okay. Everyone's going to be all right.
Yeah. I had to get some things under control before college worked for me. So I stopped drinking at 17 until my 18th birthday. And then...
Wait, what?
No, my freshman year, I was a mess.
Oh, okay.
And then I figured it out. Freshman year, I didn't know how to study. Because I got A's in high school without studying. I didn't know what to...
I didn't drink alcohol until my second semester of college.
Well, you got off to a slow start in my world. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I just thought of a game that just popped. I just thought of something. I got to talk to you during the break. It was very good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Houshmandzadeh and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I get paid to be honest. Fans try to be honest, but they can't help themselves because they're emotionally, viscerally invested in their team. They wear jerseys. So when I watch football games, I don't get emotional. I will sit there all Sunday, no emotion. And people say, how do you don't have a team to root for? No, I like the games. It's content. I'm well compensated for talking football. That's my motivation. I like content, and I like the sport, and I like the games, and I have some friends who coach and play. So if fans were truly honest with themselves, because they know the answer, they know the answer. Ask yourself, when I say your coach, what is the first thought? Do you think well coached or you get 1 second answer, not two? And, you know, a guy for me that I always struggle with is Mike Tomlin, because they play with so much emotion. They get penalized. He's never had a losing season. And so I know they're well coached. Mike Tomlin, I finally came to grips with, he coaches, he's Pete Carroll. It's a lot of emotion. It's a lot of optimism. It's a lot of just get through it. But they are well coached. They are well coached. Tomlin was always the one for me. I couldn't wrap my arms around it. And then I watched him go 500 with Duck Hodges. And I'm like, they're well coached. On the defensive side, to me, better than the offensive, but they're well coached. So we'll play a game. Joy, no rookie coach counts. Arthur Smith at Atlanta, we can't count them. She will give me a team and a coach. And what is my reaction, well coached or eh? And I don't get 2 seconds to think about it.
Right. So you're saying once you start thinking about it, you start qualifying things and talking yourself into it.
Generally speaking, I've used this example before. Trust your gut instincts. You don't have to do read the encyclopedia on everything. Like it's even Brock Huer talked about Peyton Manning and he talked about Dan Marino. Prep and let her rip. When I do this show, I prep and let her rip. I don't sit there and worry about how's it land. Just prep and go. And I think fans know what their coach is, but they start qualifying it because they can't help themselves.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills.
Well coached.
Miami Dolphins.
Well coached.
New England Patriots.
Well coached.
Dallas Cowboys. New York Giants.
Well coached.
Washington.
Well coached.
Baltimore Ravens.
Well coached.
Bengals. Browns.
Well coached.
Steelers.
Well coached.
Chicago Bears. Packers. Minnesota Vikings.
Well coached.
The Colts.
Well coached.
Tennessee Titans.
Well coached.
The Carolina Panthers.
I don't know yet. I don't have an answer. I
2 seconds.
I know, but here's my problem. Because they were not only bad, but boring last year.
This is your team, though. See, you're being emotional. You're being a fan. This is a test of your own game.
Okay. You're right. You're right. It should be an eh. You're right.
The Saints.
Well coached.
The Buccaneers.
Well coached.
The Broncos. The Chiefs.
Well coached.
The Raiders. The Rams.
Well coached.
The Niners.
Well coached.
The Seahawks.
Well coached.
Cardinals.
Am I wrong? It's not just win-loss record. It's not.
That was an amazing experiment. Because as soon as you got to the team you were emotional about, you failed.
I butchered it. So the minute I got to a team I
don't think you butchered it. I think you proved your own point. Like, as soon as we got to a team that you've chosen to be emotionally invested in,
well coached,
you couldn't decide. You had to break the rules.
It's true, though.
Okay, so let's look at the teams that you said about.
Okay, what time out? It would be the same way. Here, prime example. I'll play a game. Well, I don't know your friends, but it'd be the same way with your girlfriends.
Okay.
Would you trust them or not? Like, you can have friends, and it's like, she's crazy friend. I wouldn't trust her after 3 margaritas.
Right.
And in your world, if you said, would you trust them to keep a huge secret?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's like 2 people like that in my life, though.
Okay, there you go. So, though, like it's the same thing if you had like a massive secret.
Right.
Alters your entire fabric. How many people would you just go, trust them?
2.
Boom, and you got 30 friends.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not an indictment of them as a like human. It's
well,
just,
you got 28
I
of those girls.
I choose to know them, and I know people's limitations.
That's funny. So it is. Fans know. Like the New York Giants, I watch them. Doesn't matter their record. I'm like, oh, that's well coached. Giants are well coached. They're well coached. But when I watch Arizona, better team than Giants, I'm like, eh, I don't know. All right, Discover matches all the cash back you earn in your credit card end of your first year automatically, and there's no limit. Get used to hearing yes. Discover.com/yes2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. Joy's got some chatty girlfriends. That's what I found out in that segment. The Herd.